Welcome to Take the 12. Congratulations on taking this step. I'm grateful to be able to share this step with you because our big book tells us in the first paragraph of chapter 7, Working with Others, quote, "Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail," end quote. In this recording, I'll be reading content found in the step study at takethe12.org for step 4. The information shared here is just one AA member's personal experience and does not speak for any other member's experience or for AA itself. So let's get started. From the foreword of the 12 and 12, quote, AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which, if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole, end quote. Step 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. With each step in this study, I've started off sharing what I tell each person I teach to take the steps, that one thing I learned about this step that was the most important thing to know. Now, remember, this is just my experience and may not be the experience of another member of the AA Fellowship. The one thing I need to know about step 4, it's about causes and conditions. The spiritual principle found in this step is courage. And the reading assignment for this step is in the Big Book, pages 64 through 71, and in the 12 and 12, pages 42 through 54. Because I believe that in each of the steps there is something to surrender, here's what we will be surrendering in step 4. First, fear of looking at who I was, and second, any desire to regret the past. Here's the step summary. Page 64 in the Big Book starts by comparing a personal inventory to a business inventory. In the first full paragraph of page 64, it says this, "Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It's an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damage or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. The whole point of a business inventory is to identify a company's liabilities and its assets. They identify their liabilities, those things that are no longer selling or working for them, so they can remove them from the shelves to make room for more assets, those things that will sell or will work for them. Taking a personal inventory is no different. We searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, not alcohol, but self, manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. We had to get down to causes and conditions." A solid four-step inventory where we take stock of the manifestations of self-will is divided into three parts. Part one, our resentments, or our grudge list, as Bill calls it. Two, our fears. And three, our sex conduct and harm done toward others in this area. I'm not real sure where I heard this, but I love it. The fourth step is not about finding out who we are. It's about finding out who we are not. So with God's help, we can be rid of it, and who we are will shine through. That's another reason why self-knowledge avails us nothing. We need to find out what God wants us to be. In our four-step inventories, we will discover, for the most part, that our troubles were of our own making. We will see how we played a part in every resentment and fear we ever had, and how our conduct has harmed others. These are the very things that have blocked us from God, which is the only power that can remove the alcoholic obsession. For those of us who have been around a while, we tried to dispel some of the myths about our program of action. Here is a myth about step 4. This step is meant to tear you down. Members who complete this step say they feel a newfound confidence once they finally face themselves. They are ready to start the next chapter of their lives as sober and better versions of themselves. Let's take a look at the inventory. To complete the four-step inventory, just go to the fourth step in the study portal at takethe12.org and download the Word document worksheet. It consistently follows the inventory process outlined in our big book and adds a few more vital columns of information that will be helpful to you as you begin writing out your inventory, as well as when you sit down to write your eight-step list. If you would like to download this worksheet now, hit pause on this recording and go ahead and download it. Once you have it downloaded and opened up, hit play, and I will go through each part of the worksheet with you. So let's take a look at the worksheet. The four-step inventory is divided into three parts. Part one, the grudge list. Part two, the fears list. And part three, the sex inventory. This inventory is one of the most important exercises we will do in early sobriety because it helps to identify the causes and conditions of our failure, and it can help us to see the ammunition used by our spiritual malady, or our hopeless state of mind and body, in helping us to finally hit our bottom. Part one, the grudge list. Create an inventory of the manifestations of your defects of character, fourth column, being careful to stay focused on only where you are wrong, putting out of mind their part. While some may think that the first three columns are the most important, recognition of the fourth column is the only thing that can set us free through the actions we will take in steps 6 and 7 after completing steps 4 and 5. The first column identifies the resentments we've been harboring. The second column lists the reason we've been resentful. The third column shows what has been affected in us. The fourth column connects this resentment to a character defect. The fifth column identifies how that character defect manifested or showed up and blocked us from God's grace. The sixth column asks us to share what we could have done differently. And the seventh column simply asks if an amends needs to be made. And all we're looking for here is a simple yes or no that will be addressed in step 8. Part 2, the fears list. Fears can be defined as a distressing emotion aroused by impending pain or danger. The trigger for this emotion can be real or imaginary, and it may or may not be rational. When people feel fear, they may go into panic mode. This means that they are unable to think clearly or make good decisions. It is usual to view fear as a negative emotion, but it can also be highly beneficial as it helps to keep humans out of danger. Here are the instructions for the fears list. Read the big book from page 67, paragraph 3, notice the word fear, to page 68, paragraph 3, outgrow fear. Then list all of your fears. Take all of your fears you wrote in your grudge list, column 4, and make one single list. Reference page 68, paragraph 1, we put them on paper. Why do I have this fear? Reference page 68 in the big book. We asked ourselves why we had them. In the first column, it makes clear what I'm afraid of. The second column provides space for a brief explanation of why I have this fear. And the third column asks simply if I believe God can remove this fear. And lastly, part three, the sex inventory. Some things to remember when doing the sex inventory. One, we are building a moral inventory so we look at sex that has gone astray. Two, we look at areas where selfishness kicks up. Three, we need to be as general or as specific as we need to be. And four, we need to remember it's not a brag sheet. And five, We can put them in groups or whatever. The main thing is to get a good, solid understanding of those things I'm not comfortable with, as well as the ideals I want to live up to. All right, let's jump into the worksheet. The first column identifies the person, situation, or example of how my sex behavior was out of control. The second column asks us to identify if we had been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate. The third column has us admit if we hurt this person or not. The fourth column has us admit if we aroused jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness with our behavior. The fifth column asks us to admit where we were at fault. The sixth column asks us what we could have done instead. And the seventh column asks for a simple yes or no if we believe we owe an amends. The eighth and last column is not about one specific line item in our sex inventory. It is done only after the rest of the sex inventory has been completed and is the place where we do what it says in the book to do on page 69, fourth edition, quote, "We shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed." Here, we get to create our own sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. Think of it as a goal to strive for. It's in this column that I placed what I hope each sexual encounter in the future were subject to, kind of a spiritual litmus test for my future sex life. As the book said, my sex powers are God-given, therefore good. But I need to make sure I'm holding myself to a new set of standards in the future, as opposed to the insanity that got me to this point. I ended the sex inventory with two prayers. First, God, please help me mold my sex ideals and help me to live up to them. Help me be willing to grow toward my ideals and help me be willing to make amends where I have done harm. Please show me what to do in each specific matter and be the final judge in each situation. Help me avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Amen. And the second prayer, God, please grace me with guidance in each questionable situation, sanity, and strength to do the right thing. If sex becomes very troublesome, quiet my imperious urge. Help me not to yield and keep me from heartache as I throw myself the harder into helping others. Help me think of their needs and help me work for them. Amen. Once you've completed the inventory worksheet, I encourage you to take the step checklist for step four. And what we're looking for here again is yes or no answers. Number one, am I being honest about my moral defects? They can give you insight into why you started drinking in the first place. Number two, have I accepted that the problem is within myself and dropped the word blame from my vocabulary? Three, am I willing to look at how I've played a part in every resentment and fear that I've ever had? Four, am I willing to admit that my problems are of my own making? Five, am I ready to accept responsibility for my behaviors? Six, am I willing to admit that it's my thinking that was the foundation cause of my behaviors? And am I willing to identify their causes and conditions through inventory? 7. Am I working closely with my sponsor to complete my inventory? They may be willing to share some of their defects with you too for comfort and security. If you can answer yes to these questions, you've likely taken this step. Opening the hood and looking inside is a great place to start. Finally, I've chosen to put as the last word on each step that the only problem we ever really have is separation from God. When I find myself struggling in any way, I try and remember that it doesn't matter what the problem may look like. In every single case, the real problem is my thinking about that person, place, thing, or situation. When I can take the action needed to get right with God, I'm on the right track to ensuring that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism happens in my life. God bless.